Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from an undisclosed location, this is Real Spoilers, episode 195, the box office report for the week ending June 26th, 2016. Boom.
Wow.
I did that.
That was all in one take. That was a good job. Yeah, well done.
I guess Dan's not here to make you nervous.
I know. I get so nervous. Dan, he's just so dreamy, and I just get all flustered. So we will go around the table and introduce ourselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. As we mentioned, Dan is not here
in the San Diego.
Is he? Yeah. Is that where he went?
No.
Oh, look at him.
Or a whale's vagina.
Whale's vagina. He's taking his family on a tour of a whale's vagina.
I don't think that's what that means.
He's putting his lemon juice in his blonde hair and letting it lighten
Man,
up.
Do you remember Sunin? Do you remember that?
I do. My sister used to use that.
On your pubes?
Yeah, my pubes. It totally turned my hair orange. Like, it did not do what I thought it was going to do.
You've confused your life with an episode of the Brady Bunch.
Was just ask yourself, just think seriously.
Okay.
Was Sunin sold to you by your cousin Oliver?
No.
Okay, then yeah. Maybe
I went out and bought it on my own.
Okay. And before anybody writes, I know that technically Bobby sold Greg.
You don't want
to shampoo. You don't need to write. I mean,
so it wasn't shampoo.
It was
something
like
I used
hair
was like
tonic.
Spray.
I know.
Yeah,
I was talking about the Brady Bunch episode.
Yeah.
It was like hair tonic and and it turned Greg's hair orange, but
That's
it was
hilarious.
Not it was a Cousin Oliver episode.
But he got his from his friend Joshua, and he was like, Joshua. His hair is so blonde.
He hit me in the face with a football.
Yeah, I'm sure that's
nose.
Not what Joshua hit you in the face
he
with.
He tried to.
Oh.
Yeah. Double balls right in the face.
On that note.
Yeah. So, Kevin, sent me a link this morning that there's a Ghostbusters porn parody.
All female, though.
And nobody's going to bitch about that.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I said. I said Slimer's going to be white in that one.
Yeah.
I think the only reason it caught my eye on the message boards or wherever it was that...
Because you were scoping out Vivid's new release catalog?
No, someone shared it. I know it was on Facebook, and someone's like, yeah, no manists, like instead of feminists, manists are going to complain about this. And then it was the Ghostbusters all-female porn parody. And then I was like, wait a minute. Did they steal? Because that'd be green slime porn.
Yeah.
Did they listen to Real Spoilers and steal from our episode?
It'll be wiped
off again.
Yeah, again.
Once again.
Some of the other changes, I guess, would be the Marshmallow Man is sponsored by Cialis.
Yes.
That's how he stays puffed.
That's
right.
Puffed.
Yeah.
Stay puffed.
Yeah. That's why he's staying.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I believe in the climactic battle, they defeat...
Climax is correct.
Yeah. They defeat the Marshmallow Man via a devil's three-way. Well, because that's how you cross streams.
But there's all females, so you don't know how it works.
Yeah.
Unless
it's
a different kind of porn, and, you know,
we don't judge.
Things get weird.
We don't judge.
I guess you could use the proton packs. I guess that works.
Yeah.
Docking the proton packs.
To cross streams or not to cross streams?
Right.
That is the question.
Just saying, if that's the direction your porn's going, make sure your trap is clean.
That's exactly
it's
right.
It's never been more important
exactly
than now.
Make sure everything's taken care of.
Yes.
Well, I'm pretty sure that...
All I could think is like, what did you do, Ray?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that nice email that we were sent from Michael has just been negated by our whole talk about porn
parodies. We didn't cuss. We didn't have
well,
us.
That's true, but I was thinking that that might be along the same lines. Maybe not. I don't know.
You know, I was thinking I would like to predict a callback joke in the all-female Ghostbusters.
Okay. From the original?
Yeah. I think that because it's all-female Ghostbusters, I think at some point you will get a reference to, it's true, this man has no dick.
No balls. No,
they say dick.
They do say dick, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I think you're probably
over
right
here.
Yeah, that's right.
And then the joke will be like, of course we don't have dicks because
right.
we're women.
Yes.
And like, it'll be a girl power moment.
I have is that guy still alive, right? The guy that played, is it Peck? Was that his name? That's the character's name, was Peck?
Yeah, I think so. I can't remember the actor's name, but yeah,
he was always the asshole.
Yeah, he was the douchebag TV reporter in Die Hard.
Yes.
And
yeah.
he was also Professor Hathaway in Real Genius.
Oh. Oh. Wow, yeah, he was. You're right.
Yeah.
Huh. I just rewatched Die Hard 5 because I forgot that.
I thought in my head
I was like, oh, it's the Justin Long one.
No, that's 4.
That's 4. So I got
you rewatched Die Hard 5, the worst. Uh-huh. I'm not even supposed to be here today.
So like, I'm watching it and I was like, how are you not
I'm on
arrested
vacation.
For
I mean, I know it was like, I'm on vacation, but it's like basically, you know, Kevin Smith worked with him on Cop Out and
yeah.
I feel like he just stole that line straight out of Clerks.
Yes.
Like I'm not even supposed to be
it
here.
Was like,
today. I'm
was
on
like,
vacation.
How did you not get arrested for
right.
anything?
You're in a different
like
country.
Your son makes sense because he's the CIA
no jurisdiction.
Agent.
No jurisdiction in a different country. You're not on vacation. You're there to get your son out. You're not vacationing.
Well, yeah, it's like
by
they must have
means.
Reshot the front of that movie.
Well, you're not.
Because
you're, like, your son is doing his job.
Right.
Yeah, he's not
he's
doing
over
anything
there violating
bad.
International laws. Like, yeah. it was just, that was
yeah, like, don't go to your son's work and
and try to muck and try to be like,
yeah.
hey, you're doing it wrong, you idiot.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
not.
No,
that's
he
not
was
cool.
doing just fine.
Yeah, it was yeah. an awful.
I was like,
awful
I wouldn't
movie.
Want my dad coming to my work and trying to promote concerts. And not just because my dad is dead and it would be weird.
Dad?
That would be a bit strange.
I got
I
this.
I'm trying to be delicate here.
You
but
stink.
It stinks.
Yeah.
Really kind of. You're a
and
little,
your clothes are out of style.
You're a little. Well, that was always true.
But wouldn't it be worth it for one more day?
Of like a live zombie dad or
yeah.
real dad?
I mean, because
wouldn't it be worth dealing with the results of a rotting carcass
for one more day?
Constantly trying to eat my brain.
One more catch.
Let's have a catch.
He throws his arm.
And then Tom's like, Dad, do you remember?
Yeah, do you even
what
know?
Are you?
I don't even think you're my dad.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Hold on.
We never had
Let me
catch.
See your ID.
First off, we live in St. Louis. We don't say have a catch. You play catch.
You play catch. That's right.
You don't have a catch.
No. No.
You know?
It's not no, you have a catch is like a pretty wife. Like, that's
yeah.
having a catch.
Yeah. Yeah. So I do have a catch.
There you go. Well done.
But your dad can't have a catch with you.
No, that would be weird.
That would be weird.
That would
yeah.
be very
that
weird.
Would be in the
especially
Ghostbusters 2 porn parody.
Yeah.
Zombie or no zombie. That's just not right.
That would be the weirdest
you know,
Mitch album novel ever.
I feel like Dan is our moral compass. And when he's not here, we don't have like the disapproving father look. We
well,
like, come on.
Well, all it is I should even insert a soundbite here, but oh,
yeah.
That's every time we start going off on a tangent like that, it's like, oh,
he goes, my favorite is like, no.
He probably prevents 90% of our complaints just because he's here. Because there's at least someone in the show going, guys,
come on.
That's reel it back in.
Right.
We're like, all right, Dan, all right.
Okay.
You got it.
Let me apologize preemptively.
Sorry, Dad. Yeah. And Tom's dad.
So, shameless plugs. Don't forget that we're available on iTunes. You can go there and rate and review and subscribe to us. We would greatly appreciate it. It helps us tremendously. I know we say it all the time, but we say it because it's true.
It is.
It is. We're up to 100 reviews now.
Yeah.
Our 100 ratings, about 60 reviews.
And we're not going to let Joe out of the cage until you get 101 reviews
why,
in there.
Why do we have to go?
Yeah, maybe we should
it.
Go the other way. We will
we're
let
not
Joe
gonna
out
let,
of
if you let him out of the
you
cage.
If you don't leave reviews.
We're letting him out.
It's going to get bad.
Into the
yes.
world.
Yeah, we're releasing him into the
do
wild.
Do you really want Creepy Joe walking around among you?
I don't.
But that does help us tremendously. People stumble across the show. They see like, oh, what's this show that I
I've probably never heard of. It seems to have a lot of interaction. I should check it out. So we've actually had people discover the show say that they didn't know what we were, and they saw all the positive ratings and reviews, and they decided to give us a shot.
They were looking for a movie podcast, and we popped up with a bunch of reviews. Yeah.
So so that does help us. So we greatly appreciate it when people take the time to do that. So also don't forget that you could find us on Facebook at facebook.com/realspoilers, and if you're a loyal listener, you can join the League of Show Sharers. You just click the little share button there and tell your friends that you listen to the show and why you like it, and here's a new episode. People that shared the show this week that joined our League of Show Sharers, or in most instances I should say rejoined our League of Show Sharers,
just re-upped.
Yeah. Lane LeVanway, Brent Smith, Tammy Sherman Powers, Ryan Breidenbecker, Librarian Cynthia, Travis Tewitt, Tom Comiskey, Linnea Thunsell, Chris Sanders, Dustin from Nerds at Night Gaming, and Chris, I've been saying his name, or I've been saying Sansochi, and he corrected me.
Oh.
And he gave me phonetic spelling, but I'm not really, still not sure. He's got, it's S-A-N space S-A space C-I. So is that
Sansachi,
I guess.
Is it the C-I still chi, or would it be a C? I guess it would be.
I think it'd be a chi.
So Sansachi?
Okay.
So if not,
or it could be C, I guess. Sansasi.
Yeah, but maybe I would think he would do it S-E-E if he was trying to get me to say C.
No, but you'd think it'd be C-H-I if you were doing it phonetically.
Yeah, I don't know. So. That's also true.
But I'd say chi.
Oh, no, I'm confused.
Yeah.
I'm trying, Chris. I'm really trying. I'm making an effort. Do I get at least credit for making an effort?
Yeah, we'll give you credit.
If it makes you feel... And Linnea Thunsell sitting over there going, it took him 1 week? Chris needs to shut up.
Linnea, that's what Linnea said. It phonetically. Did she?
Yeah,
she sent us a
YouTube clip of how to pronounce
and
it.
Afterwards, Tom still got it wrong after listening to the podcast.
I forgot about that, yeah.
Because she knew how bad I would be at it, and she was trying to give me...
So we listened to it, and then Tom goes, all right, and Linnea... whatever he said, or no. And then
I mispronounced her last name.
Yeah, right after the clip. Yeah. Like, what?
I went from saying Linnea... Thunsell to Sam. Linnea. Thunselli.
Yeah. Got it.
Got it. Nailed it.
Perfect.
Yes. So there's your shameless plugs.
And I think we did, like I mentioned, we got a nice note from Michael, so I'd like to share that with everyone.
You would like to share something with the class?
Yes, I would. Michael Lively posted on our Facebook page, I discovered...
Blake's husband.
Right. Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not Blake from the show.
No,
yeah, but right, okay. I mean, if someone's going to call you Blake Lively's husband, I don't think you're going to turn that down. Right?
Right, or I'll just be like, wait a minute.
Yeah. Well, it's not much to compete with.
That's
come
true,
on.
Yeah.
Ryan come Reynolds. On. Michael says, I discovered you guys a year out and went from the beginning to catch up. For the most part, I enjoy your insights into these movies and some of the fun facts you pepper into the podcast. I also enjoy the chicken noise you put to cover over some of the curse words. I almost stopped listening because I thought you guys were dropping too many F-bombs.
You were bleeping me out anyway. The chicken noise didn't come in till 50.
I guess we missed a few, though, in the beginning.
Well, I think for a while we were like, eh, screw it.
Yeah, and then, yeah, that's probably true.
Especially during the Transformers 4 podcast. Man, you guys really hated that movie.
For the record... I wasn't here for that. So that's not
surprising.
Me.
Surprising.
And for the record, it was really bad.
I finally saw it when my older brother bought it on Amazon. I currently wasn't going to pay for it. Anyway, I'm getting off track here. Love your guys' podcast and keep up the great work.
Well, thank you.
Thanks, man. I appreciate you listening.
I'm glad the chicken noise helps out. So maybe we're keeping more listeners with the chicken noise.
What was the... Didn't I do another one? It was like Dean Martin doing the chicken noise.
That never caught on. No, yeah.
It's because you didn't isolate it and do it. I would have been fine. Yeah. I'd have done it, Kevin.
Yeah. So says Joe.
Yeah. Yes. So, well, thank you, Michael. And I guess we will now turn our eyes to the box office. Kevin has his abacus at the ready, Kevin.
I do, Tom. And if anyone has any guesses at what's number one at the box office this week, Joe?
So it was Independence Day, and what was the other one that came out this week? The Shallows?
Yes.
The Shallows. So and Free State of Jones.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, yeah.
So
that was a weird release.
So what do you think ended up at number one?
Finding Dory.
Correct.
Yeah.
Finding Dory made another $77 million, a 43% drop from its record-breaking opening weekend. It was the highest animated opening film of all time.
Do we get final numbers on it?
So its second week has out... Just its second week.
Yes.
Or second weekend.
Second weekend.
Yes. Has done more than the entire run of Alice Through the Looking Glass.
Yes.
Holy cow.
Which, again, just mind-boggling. The original Alice made over $1 billion worldwide. and then Finding Dory's second weekend, three days, makes more than the entire run. Yeah.
So a buddy of mine at work was like, hey, did you see Batman versus Superman? And I was like, yeah.
You're like four times.
He's like, have you seen my tattoos on my body? I like, have. If you have a Superman tattoo on your body.
You're going to see that movie. Yeah.
You're like Zaz. You scar exactly. yourself every time you see Batman versus Superman.
So I went back.
You have 700 scars.
Although technically... Don't we all scar ourselves every time we see do. Batman
on the
Superman?
Inside and out.
So I went back and listened to our episode.
Yeah.
Because I wanted a funny episode to listen to.
Tuesday's the day, my friend.
I know.
Tuesday's the day.
So Kevin predicted that movie would gross $1 billion and it missed it.
I mean, I thought it would have easily made $1 billion just because of, you know, worldwide with the content.
Right.
Like,
and they were having fun with it.
I mean,
totally
yeah.
having fun with it.
Now, it got close, right?
It was like 900.
Okay.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I'm like, easily $1 billion, right?
Yeah. You were like, easily $1 billion.
Had it been good?
So,
had it had
they
been
are,
mediocre?
They are re-releasing it. They are re-releasing
one day only,
the extended R-rated cut.
Monday. It's the day before digital release.
Yes.
They're doing it in theaters for one day.
Trying to get $1 billion.
No, they're not going to make $100 million
I'm just saying they're trying.
I'm just saying, I think they're doing it as a publicity bump because now everyone's going to report on it being in theaters and it comes out the next day. It's free advertising.
Right, right.
They don't think they're going to get $100 million from a day of Fathom events or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not. But anyway, yeah, so Finding Dory, $77 million domestic. It is now up to $290 million domestic total. Another $50 million overseas. So $340 million. I think it had a $200 million budget. So
yeah.
$140 million over budget in 2 weeks.
Good.
Marlon.
I'm telling you.
Finding Hank.
Yeah.
You know what I really thought, though? What I was thinking during the movie, whenever Marlon and Nemo were being shipped off to Ohio, I mean, part of me said, okay, they're never going to end the movie with them being gone. But then I'm like, wait a minute. Marlon gets stuck on there, Finding Marlon.
It could be. It absolutely.
But that's what I, you know, in my head, and they got saved. So
it could be Finding Hank or Finding Marlon. It could be either one.
Yeah.
I think you almost have to do Finding Marlon just because I don't think Hank is.
No, you got to. Yeah. Marlon's been there for all the movies.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah.
And it could be a spinoff, like one of those Netflix, like straight to Netflix. Not that they're bad, but like those little
shorts
that
Disney
does.
So Disney just signed that deal with Netflix where Netflix is going to get everything
that they are going to release.
All the Disney stuff and all the Marvel stuff.
They're not going to get all of it. They're going to get all of it that they choose to release. That was
like
the confusion.
What?
So as soon as that article came out, they never sent out false information. They sent out that Netflix will be the exclusive pay for video service for Disney, and then every news outlet went out and said Netflix is getting every single Disney thing ever made. No, they're just the exclusive.
When they release Tarzan 1, 2, and 3, or
in 2 years when Finding Dory is released, in 3 years when it comes to video on demand, Netflix will be the only one that gets it.
Got it.
HBO won't have it. Showtime won't have it. Cable won't have it. They're the exclusive. That doesn't mean
so
they drop
the back
catalog.
Never going through the other channels.
Never.
Wow,
that's a huge get.
Yeah, that is a huge get.
But everyone said, "Oh my God, I'm going to be able to binge 500 movies tomorrow on Netflix." But no,
well,
they're just
I knew it was like I knew that they. I would assume that they would stagger it out. I just, I guess, I read that the same way. Where I was
right,
like, they're getting everything
when they said it was the exclusive.
Not
going to
have Song of the South. I'll tell you that.
The three Caballeros is the other one that
wasn't bad.
They still put that out.
No, that wasn't bad at all.
Oh, I've never seen it before.
Yeah,
no, that wasn't. No,
that's been released on DVD and stuff.
Okay.
I mean, it's not a huge movie, but it's
that wasn't
not as offensive as Song of the South.
No, I mean, it's probably comes across as a little racially insensitive today because it definitely trades in some stereotypes. But it was like, but it was coming from a different place.
I just hate rewriting history. That's rewriting
plus,
history.
Plus, like Walt
you know?
Went to what was it? Spain is it where that takes place? He went to Spain and was like really fascinated with the culture. So even if some of it misses the mark, like the the goal of that film was very positive, especially for its day.
What about the goal of Song of the South? That was never a bad goal.
I mean,
you know what I mean? Like that was a very,
it wasn't, but it also wasn't trying to be educational like that, you know, like it was, it doesn't play well in today's world and it wasn't trying to, where this, Walt was trying to be educational.
Right.
And it was like, there's a movie, there's a documentary about why he made that movie called Walt E.L. Grupo. Don't worry, it's actually in English. But it's about his tour group that went to Spain and where he was like, oh, I want to, and it's like was a lot of his inspiration for the Three Caballeros.
Oh, okay.
And like, and so when you see that, you can also really see like how much he loved Spain and the culture. And he, you know, he wasn't trying to be like, wouldn't it be funny to throw a sombrero on Donald Duck? That'd be a riot. Yeah. You know, like that wasn't,
the kids would love it.
That wasn't what was going on.
Unlike Speedy Gonzalez.
You know what?
Who you don't see. He's gone.
They're bringing him back.
Oh, they are?
Yeah. And like, because like, the thing is like Mexicans
don't have famous
and they love Speedy Gonzalez. I mean, I'm painting with a broad brush. I'm not trying to say there's never been a Mexican that was offended by.
But yeah, but when you take him away, not like, only are you taking away like that insensitivity cry, but you're taking away their famous
only,
character.
Yeah,
that's true.
Like, and honestly, like Speedy Gonzalez was.
Speedy Gonzalez wasn't the problem.
It was Speedy.
Yeah, it was the other three.
Right.
But it's like, you know, like that's the problem. I wrote a paper about this when I was in college. I was kind of like just deliberately pissed off my teachers. This is going to sound weird. I wrote a paper in defense of Amos and Andy.
Continue.
But now, first off, to be clear, it was in defense of the television show Amos and Andy. Okay. Right. So now the difference, stroll down memory lane.
Old-timey references.
So the radio show Amos and Andy had black people white people impersonating black people.
Right.
And it was an insanely popular radio show. I mean, there were stories about people could walk down the street in New York City and hear the episode and like entirely just from it coming out of other people's windows.
When they had storefronts.
Yes, when they had storefronts. And so they turned it into a TV show, but when they did a TV show, they didn't do the blackface route. They hired black actors.
Right.
And so it's like not the most racially sensitive show by today's standards. But here's the thing that gets kind of lost in the shuffle with Amos and Andy, the television show, is that the cast was entirely black. You didn't have that anywhere else.
That's
on
true.
Television.
Yeah.
And
what year was this?
This would have been like, I think, the mid 50s.
Okay.
So the cast was entirely black. The other thing is to put it in a historical context, this was a very popular trope in television in that there was like the ethnic comedy. So there was a Jewish version of this called the Goldbergs.
Okay.
It was a very popular radio show also.
Is that what they just came out with the Goldbergs recently?
That's different. It's not a reboot or anything.
Okay.
It's just the same name.
Okay.
And then there was an Irish version called The Life of Riley. There was an Italian version. I'm drawing a blank on what it was. But so there were lots of like these kind of ethnic working class comedies.
Right.
Amos and Andy just happened to be the black one. So were there stupid characters on Amos and Andy? Yes, because it's a sitcom.
Right.
And that's what sitcoms do, especially back then. But the other thing to remember is that because it was an all black cast on Amos and Andy, every character had to be black. So, yes, there were dumb people making bad decisions because it's a sitcom and to drive the story forward.
It's
But what that also meant was whenever they had to interact with a police officer, black. A judge, black. The mayor, black. Business owners, black.
Huh. Right.
So there were a lot of positive
characters.
Too.
And so, like, and again, you can watch the show in modern day, and there's definitely going to be things that's going to make you cringe, especially because of the way they talk. But again, it was like 1955, and it's like you kind of gotta.
You have to look at it from when it was being, like, what was socially acceptable in 1955.
And when Amos and Andy went off the air, just playing devil's advocate, there would not be another television show centered around a black business owner,
Sanford and Son,
until the 70s, and it was Sanford and Son, and he owned a junkyard.
Yeah.
Amos and Andy, they own, I think it was Kingfish, was the main character. Oddly enough, the main character wasn't named Amos or Andy, it was Kingfish.
Okay.
What was Amos and Andy from?
It was two characters, but then they had this other character named Kingfish. It was almost like how you would think Happy Days, if Happy Days had character names, it probably would have been like Richie and Potsy, but Fonzie's who everybody got into. Kingfish was kind of their Fonzie. And I believe he owned a taxi cab company.
Okay.
So
Warner Brothers kind of do Amos and Andy? Like, didn't they have, what the hell was it? Was it Heckle and Jekyll? Like, wasn't that kind of like their homage to?
I'm not sure if that, probably. I know there are a lot of people that aren't fans of Heckle and Jekyll because they feel like it's kind of a you know.
Yeah. I thought I had read somewhere that they were kind of like the homage to.
Yeah.
But yeah, like Speedy Gonzales. I've gone back and watched those because we have those on DVD.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of like, I could see it. But he's also the hero.
Yeah.
He's the hero. Like the other
but
three.
But yeah,
are
I read
idiots.
That they are trying to like bring that back.
Interesting.
So right. Anyway.
Stroll down memory lane.
Yes.
Yes. So
you can write all the letters. Yeah. How could you defend Amos and Andy?
Here, I'll show you my paper.
Yeah.
So Disney doing all right with Finding Dory, 340 million worldwide in 2 weeks. So sequel time, Finding Marlin.
Yeah, right.
Number two, the movie of the day, Independence Day Resurgence, opened to $45 million.
On an $800 million budget.
Close. Now, it reportedly has a $165 million budget. So, I mean, yeah, 45 for a summer blockbuster is not exactly what they're hoping to get out of that. I mean, plus all the marketing, got to think that at least, you know.
Did they do a viral marketing that said that...
Well, Jeff Goldblum did little
Will
commercials.
Will Smith was killed?
They did a website where if you went onto the website, you saw the homage to Will Smith that he was test piloting the alien ship and died in it. So we knew that a long time ago when it was announced he wasn't going to be in it. So they did like a little website with a, you know, Captain Hiller died, blah, 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 spaceship.
Got it.
And then I know lately Jeff Goldblum has been coming out as his character doing little like viral videos that they sponsor on Facebook.
It was nice to see Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah.
I like Jeff Goldblum.
I like Jeff Goldblum a lot. Yeah. I mean, he's good. I always like to see him in a movie because he doesn't do many like mainstream movies
now. I saw him and on Law and Order Criminal Intent, which was the Vincent D'Onofrio one. When Vincent D'Onofrio legitimately had some issues outside of production, they kept bringing in different partners for teams.
Oh.
So at one point they brought back Chris Noth. At one point they brought in somebody else.
And he played the
character?
They
brought in Jeff. Not the character. He was a different detective.
Oh, I was going to say that Heath Ledger did.
No.
Okay. That would have been cool.
Jeff Goldblum came on. I think he did a season. At least either a season or half a season as a detective.
Yeah.
And he
was good?
Great. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, you just don't see. I mean, I really like him in a lot of his indie stuff. So I like when he pops up. But like, you don't see him anymore in a blockbuster, you know, like he was in Jurassic Park and then got a much bigger role in Jurassic Park 2. And it's like you used to kind of see him in the mainstream.
He
in
was,
Independence
we
Day.
Talked about it. Like he was the highest grossing
for a while. He was the highest grossing actor of all time because it was funny because he was never. It was never really because of him.
Right.
He just kept landing in these big, huge movies.
Yep.
But I like, you know, he's got this quirky sensibility. Obviously, he's a very quirky actor. And I just always think his roles are cool. Like, you know what I mean?
Anytime he shows up, I was like, right.
But I like his indie stuff. He was in
Death Wish.
Yeah, he was in Death Wish. He was in Annie Hall.
He was in Annie Hall.
He had one
line
in Annie Hall.
Right. Yeah.
He was in Igby Goes Down, which is with Kieran Culkin, which I really liked. Kieran Culkin's the one that's in Scott Pilgrim. Like he's the Culkin that's not.
He's the Culkin who's
insane.
He's like the weird indie hipster kid.
Yeah, he's a good actor.
Oh, he's
like,
the weird Culkin.
Okay, that was my point. Is he's not the weird. He's the like.
No, he's the weird one. Just Macaulay is like another level of weird.
Okay, but it's all relative.
They're all relative.
They're all relative. They all are named Culkin. Like that doesn't even make any sense. Like think it through, man.
Yeah, but anyway, so he's a good actor. But I like that movie. Igby Goes Down. Someone was talking about Culkin the other day, and I'm like, well, Kieran Culkin actually is pretty good in his movies.
He's
that he
good. Now, Pilgrim, when dude. I saw with Igby Goes Down, were you disappointed by the amount of oral sex in that movie? I really felt like that was a bait and switch.
Well, you know what? He does it for like over an hour. He doesn't do it. And you're like waiting for Igby to go down.
Right. Like I was upset that he just didn't fall. Like that's what I thought we were doing.
Oh, is that what you thought?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
When you went to a movie called Igby Goes
Down.
Exactly.
Yeah, I didn't go to a movie then. I rented it.
Because he worked at Blockbuster.
He
had juice.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Nah.
They let you take that overnight, didn't they?
They did.
Monday before release day. You got to bring that one home.
I got a week before release day.
So, anyway, So, Independence Day, $165 million budget. So, 45, not quite what they were looking for. I don't have any foreign numbers yet, so I don't know if that's going to...
Well, it's got two pointless Chinese characters, clearly it will be opening in China.
When I saw the... whenever there was the pilot... Well, I mean, we'll get into this, but as soon as I saw the pilot and the boss of them in the very beginning, I go, that character's name is Chinese Box Office.
Yes.
And then I saw the pilot or whatever, the second I go, that is... the part of that pilot will be played by Chinese Box Office 2.
Yeah.
It's so obvious with these international movies when they just stick characters that don't have to be. I mean, it's fine to put them in the movie,
like,
but like
in the context of the movie and where she is in the movie, like that makes sense.
Yeah.
But the focus on her all of a sudden does not make sense.
Yeah. It just like when it's like just obvious like that,
yes.
You're just like, okay.
Right.
If you're like a third level cast member, you definitely want to do everything you can to interact with the Chinese character.
That's exactly right.
That means your scenes won't get cut.
Exactly. Like, at no, least, we got to leave him in.
At least not in China.
Right. That kid's going to be huge in China now, though, the one that's always interacting with
him. He's going to be like going to all the Chinese wizard worlds.
That's right. He's like, I was the guy.
Get your picture taken with the other lady, the guy from all the other scenes.
Right, right.
The other guy from all the scenes, yeah.
Like, that one guy from all the other scenes.
He's the new Jason David Frank over in China.
Oh, jeez.
Lou Ferrigno.
Yeah, I think Jason David Frank is
Power Ranger.
Yeah. Oh man. No, that's Jason David Frank.
Is that
He's the Green Power Ranger.
Green Power Ranger.
Yeah, that's the one he's talking about. Yeah. Oh, he's like the king of Wizard World.
He's the king of not even just Wizard World. That dude is the king of cons.
Yeah.
Like that.
I know because he's like in every one we go to.
Everything.
And I'm just like, is there anybody left who wants a picture with him who hasn't done it?
But I don't know. They love it. And what I will say, and I think I've mentioned this before, he is so good to his fans. Like when the kids,
both of them.
No, I mean he'll fill up the whole auditorium, and then he'll bring people up to do, like, they'll be like, I've been doing martial arts for 10 years and whatever. And
he is an MMA fighter now.
But he's a serious, like, triple black belt. You know what I mean?
That's legit.
Well, in that case, I would like to retract all my jokes making fun of him.
No, he's like
You're a wonderful human being, and that was Kevin.
Green / Power Ranger / White Power Ranger / Zordon.
White Power Ranger.
No,
you can't have a white.
He was the white power ranger.
That's
bad. That's,
yeah. I mean, I wrote a paper in defense of Amos and Andy, but even I won't have a white power ranger.
In all fairness, I didn't name the character. Like, that's who he is. The black power ranger played by a black guy.
The yellow power ranger
played by an Asian.
Yeah. I mean, even though politically correct things were different 15-20 years ago,
they thought they were being noble.
I guess
like they're
maybe.
Like it's like the Power Rangers of Benetton. You know what I mean? Like it's like we're gonna have one from every culture. Well, I guess we'll make the red one an Indian.
Why wasn't the red one an Indian then?
Yeah.
No? All right.
Yeah. And then if you ask that, you were the racist.
Yeah, you're the guy. I was like, right. In all fairness, you put two of them in the wrong colors.
Oh goodness. So anyway,
maybe the red Power Ranger should have been a Crip.
Yeah.
Right. Really mess with people's heads.
Boom. Bryan Cranston. As Zordon,
right? Yeah. Like, I have to think that was genius casting because it got people to talk about the Power Rangers movie.
Well, they cast what's her name is?
Well, I know, Elizabeth Banks isn't.
Elizabeth Banks is a pretty big name.
Mm.
Yeah, but nobody's like, hey,
no one's going to see it because of Elizabeth.
Here's something no one's ever said. Let's go see that new Elizabeth Banks
right.
movie.
Yeah, I mean, she's got clout. She's directed.
I mean,
Pitch
I like
Perfect.
Her.
And, yeah,
I do. Too. I think
but she's
adorable.
Not a ticket seller. You know what I mean?
No.
But when they go, Bryan Cranston is Zordon from Power Rangers, like a hologram face in a tube.
He's like, how much work do I have to do? Done.
Yeah. I mean, I think
sit in a room.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there, if you've seen the poster they released, the teaser poster, which is all like artsy and it's like
it's backvertising.
Not really.
Isn't it them like isn't it all five of them sitting on a car?
But
like,
it's not backvertising though. But like some of them are sitting frontwards, but they're shadowed. Yeah. Like they're shadows. So you see like a forest or something in a car, and then you can't make out any of the characters, but they're like shadows covering them. And then the red Power Ranger is like looking off into the distance. Like, and it doesn't even say Power Rangers on the poster.
It doesn't.
No.
Oh.
It just says like, together we will all triumph or whatever at the top, and then that picture.
That sounds like a white Power Ranger.
That might not be it, but you know, it just says some like motivational speech, and then at the very bottom corner of the poster it says like hashtag Power Rangers.
It says hashtag kill mud people.
No, those are villains in our movie. Like,
yeah, no, they're
aliens.
Villains.
Yeah,
and by villains we mean people that aren't white, because
right.
We're white Power Rangers.
Yeah, hashtag kill all aliens.
So coming in at number three, Central Intelligence.
Kill all illegal aliens.
Well, they don't want to go too far.
Yeah,
too on the nose.
In the second white Power Ranger movies, they're building a wall.
But they're going to make the aliens pay for it.
The aliens will pay for it, yeah.
Number three, Central Intelligence.
We're making
brought
fun
in.
Of Kevin's candidate. That's what we're doing.
If you want to know why we go over on time.
Yeah.
Number three, Central Intelligence came in at $18.2 million in week two. That's a 49% drop. So that is now at $69 million domestic. It has another almost $10 million foreign. So
I always thought The Rock was a international guy. Like, I thought he did a lot of money internationally.
I think he does, but I think he does more international money.
Action-wise.
Action stuff, that's true.
Okay. You get some that surprise you, but this one just may not have that, you know, for whatever reason. Coming out at number four, The Shallows. That is, speaking of Blake Lively, that is her movie that I guess it's
Blake Lively in a bikini for an hour
and a half. Yeah. I guess this is her open water. This is just her on the ocean.
I know, I watched it. I saw it. I didn't see it, but the trailer, I'm like,
it look like
this,
open water?
So I thought it was another open water direct-to-video
I didn't see it, but that's what, like, open water, you never see the shark.
That's because they made it for like $4.
That's also true.
Yeah,
they made a ton of money.
That was awful.
But
that,
do you think, so like,
oh, I liked open water.
Oh, open water's good.
God,
yeah,
I hated it.
Are you sure you didn't see that? You saw the first one, because they made like two direct, like,
so
made
the open
for
water
cable
was kind of like the Blair Witch of,
so like they're
shark
in the
movies.
Water, right? And then like,
yeah, it might even be open water.
Does he die? Do they like, is that the deal, like he gets bit or something?
They both, he gets bit by a shark,
and
then
they unhook him,
and they're, and they're,
they say don't let go, and then he finds the heart of the ocean at the bottom, right?
And then it's basically, it's, I mean, it's a very talky movie.
Yeah.
It's basically they're having marital problems, and then they're scuba
stranded.
Diving. They get left behind. Yeah. He gets bit by a shark, and then they're trying to stay alive and float in the water. And while these sharks, because he's bleeding, it keeps bringing the
keeps
sharks
circling.
Back.
Do they? Does he end up dying? And
do
then
we
want to
spoil the movie?
I don't care.
But people listening, like,
I don't. It's think we should spoil it. Right, it's a totally different. But it's worth seeing. I think you should go watch it.
I'll ask you.
Was that 2004? I think that came out in 2004. That was great. That was a very original movie.
Okay,
you know?
Right. And then they made some pretty crappy.
Yeah,
sequels.
You know, if there's a reason that things go straight to DVD.
Yeah,
like
true.
We've talked about, it's a blockbuster. When you see that Cuba Gooding Jr. James Wood movie, that Steven Seagal's 50th movie this year, Dolph Lundgren movies. Like, there's a reason for the most part. You don't. If you can make money, you're going to release it in theaters, right?
Right.
So
when the movie subtitle is Saudi Arabian tax shelter, like that's typically
that's a dead giveaway, right?
That, yeah. Like when I was watching, when I went to review that Brendan Fraser movie, what was like something furry something. Or furry, where
you saw furry movies? Is that what he's doing now?
That animal, where,
where it's like, and it was like at the opening, it was like something Dubai Productions, and I was like, this can't be good. This movie has tax write off written
new
all
canon.
Over it. Yeah,
talk about a fall from grace. Remember
when
Brendan Fraser
was just thinking
a
that.
Blockbuster movie star with
a
Mummy.
He was a huge,
and then
movie
he had
star.
All those movies he did, like
George of the Jungle. There was Dudley Do Right, and he was, you know,
The Mummy. The Mummy 2.
The Mummy
3. But he was in big movies, and then, I mean, he did that Journey movie, which
he
I don't...
He was so big, they were making Mummy movies that he wouldn't even be in.
Right, yeah. They're still making Scorpion King movies.
Yeah, like now...
I can't believe there's a Scorpion King 3.
Yeah.
Now he'd show up to, like, if they did a Mummy theme park ride, he'd be like, I'll shoot it.
He'll be the video guy that welcomes you into the...
He'll be the guy making sure that you're buckled in safely.
You know there is one, right?
I know. It's actually pretty good.
Yeah, no,
it was Brendan Fraser, that's what you don't know.
That's a great ride.
Yeah. It's short, but it's a good ride.
It's fun. It's one of those that like kind of changes directions on you because you're in the complete dark and you go into a room and then it spins around and puts you on a different track and the tracks kind of change and you don't know what is going on. I did that a couple times. It's fun.
Check that out.
But anyway, so The Shallows made $17 million, and I mean that's a little independent, I mean art house type movie.
It's not a Blumhouse
flick,
is it?
No,
I don't think it is, but I can't imagine that it has a budget more than a Blumhouse movie. I
mean, it's her on
can't
a, it's
be
her
much
on a,
more.
It's her on a buoy.
Yeah,
that's about it.
So, I'm guessing $17 million domestically is pretty good for that. So, anyway,
it's her highest grossing film of all time.
I don't know about that. I mean, come on, there was
Age of Adeline.
Come on, there was Green Lantern. No, wait a minute, this is her highest grossing film.
I stand by my statement.
So, number five, Free State of
Wasn't
Jones.
Wasn't she in The Fighter?
No, that was Amy Adams.
I thought she was. Who was hit the?
She was in the town.
Maybe she was the town with Ben Affleck.
Yeah,
like she was his love interest. Yeah. Number five, as Tom mentioned, Free State of Jones opened $7.5 million. So I have a $50 million budget on that. That's the new Matthew McConaughey movie.
Did you see it?
I did.
And?
It should have been on the History Channel.
Really?
It was good for that.
Yeah.
But they did this weird storytelling device where it was toggling back and forth between like 1860s and then like 1940s. Because of something that happens in the story that has repercussions later.
Okay.
But like they didn't go back to the 1940s enough to where whenever they did, you'd be like, what is going on? Why are there cars? Oh, that's right. We're coming to the, And so, it was an interesting story though. It definitely held my attention. It's certainly not a bad movie.
How was McConaughey?
Oh, he was good.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But,
All right.
Yeah. So I just watched,
you just bought a Lincoln.
Yeah. I just watched Everybody Wants Some. Which is the new Linkletter flick that's kind of the pseudo sequel.
Yeah, that's
Dazed.
Out on Vudu to buy for $15 in HD.
It's
almost
worth
did
it. It's
really
worth it.
Okay.
But
I
like
think I will.
They have a character in there who is doing
Dazed and Confused.
It's an amazing McConaughey impression.
Yeah.
And it was just, as soon as he starts talking, I was like, well, okay.
Yeah.
I know what you're doing there, buddy. It was, yeah, $15 is a steal. That's a good deal.
Yeah,
good flick.
For HD, and yeah, it's not out on, you know, video yet. No. It's video on demand. So, yeah, I might
The guy that plays Superman is in that.
The new guy?
Yeah, the new guy, yeah.
Cool. So, yeah, Free State of Jones had a $50 million budget. So, I mean, not a huge opening weekend. I don't know how much longer that's going to stick around, especially with the next couple weeks that we have. So, I think it's
a weird time to release a movie like
that's
that.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, that's a small, like, kind of artsy movie.
It feels like it was Oscar bait that wasn't quite up to par. But then why do it in the middle of the summer?
Do it in February or something.
But, or you do it the after summer.
Do it in September.
You put this
movie out in September? Yeah, totally.
Because $7 million opening weekend on a $50 million budget, and then next week you've got three huge movies coming out, like, right. It's gonna be gone,
it's done,
it's out of the top 10 this next week easily. Number six, The Conjuring 2, sticking around. That one made $7.2 million, a 52% drop. So that one, obviously, as we talked about last week, is making a decent amount of money. Did we ever have a budget on Conjuring 2? I can't remember that we ever
let me see if they
updated it real quick.
I would guess somewhere around 80
40
Oh, wow.
So they did that really cheap. So $40 million budget. It has another 120-ish overseas. So it's up over $200 million on a $40 million dollar budget. Yeah. So we're not going to stop seeing those movies anytime soon.
No, it's interesting. Like, I was reading some articles about James Wan, and he just kind of like, I guess he got burned out on Fast 7, which maybe have led to like his... I'm not going to do Aquaman thing. Like, he just, I think he said, like, the idea
big
of
movies?
Big, like, you know, like, he came from a small,
sure,
but like, just the, he's like, the stress of trying to get, granted, he had a little bit more stress to deal with on Fast 7, than
crazy
some
movie.
Directors,
yeah,
but he also had an actor,
a death,
yeah,
sure, of course,
one of your major characters die.
But that would be a crazy logistic movie to handle, especially with all those.
Well, especially like where he came from, and then making a massive jump like that. So I could see where like Aquaman may be daunting.
You know what? I will give them credit for, and I thought Fast 7 was ridiculous in a bad way. Like, I did not like. Which one is Fast 5 the good one? The one that's just like
Fast
awesome.
Fast 5 and 6 were the good ones. The Rock was introduced.
Fast 5 is good action. It got really good reviews. Like, that one I really like. 7 went off the rails like too much to where it just was insane, you know? But I will give them credit. They used all practical
cars. Yep.
They were crashing like something like 100 and something cars.
There was
expensive cars.
Who was it? Vin Diesel and Jason Statham crash into
each
other.
That was where
I was like, you would both be dead.
That's what
I'm saying.
Even
if you're strapped in, you have an engine in
when
your lap.
When you go through the windshield, and then I think, was it...
No, they neither one of them, that's the thing. They both sat in the driver's seat, and then they both get out, and then they fight. They didn't go through the windshield.
Or maybe that was 6 where he went through the windshield and crossed over a bridge.
Maybe.
It was just like...
Maybe.
That's 6 and 7 got insane, like, where I was just like, no, you're not superheroes.
Yeah,
like,
that was... So I think 6 was the last Justin Lin one.
Yeah.
Who I just saw the trailer for Star Trek Beyond.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, Fast and Furious in Space.
Is Justin Lin the one that started off with Better Off Tomorrow?
Is that what that was called?
That high school movie that was really good?
I think there's 2.
Okay.
There's the first one.
I read that Blockbuster, you know, 14 years ago or whatever, and I was really impressed. And that's, I think, the first time I saw.
There was like a weird dip in my movie watching where I was like Infernal Affairs and Better Off Tomorrow and Battle Royale and all that stuff. And I was like, oh man, this stuff is great.
Yeah, definitely. So no, that's the first time I saw him. He's a good director.
Yeah.
So
we'll see.
Again, I mean, Star Trek's a huge big budget movie, and coming off that second one that people were disappointed, I mean, that movie's going to have to be, and then, you know, people are already railing the trailers, like,
I'll tell you what, doesn't look good.
It's going to have to be good to, like,
all I know is I saw somebody riding a motorcycle on some weird planet, and I was like, what?
Playing Beastie Boys?
Yeah, right. Hey, that was a good scene.
That was the number one thing.
Oh,
that
no, wait, that was
the trailer.
That was Kirk. That was Kirk in the first one as the kid listening to Beastie Boys.
Yeah, I'm talking about
the
trailer.
Yeah,
okay, that's okay, the one thing people were just like, stop. Number 7, Now You See Me 2, still hanging on in the top 10, made another $5.6 million, a 40% drop. So I'm having trouble seeing the domestic total on this bad boy. It's going off the side here.
Given our scathing review.
Yeah, it looks like it's around $50 million domestic and another $50 million overseas. So it's about around $100 million worldwide. I don't have a budget on that one. You know, when the movies don't do so well, they seem to not announce the budget.
Funny how that works.
Isn't that strange? So, you know, I don't have a budget, but I'm guessing it was more.
It was a lot more. I guarantee it. A
lot of actors in that. I mean, you got Daniel Radcliffe, which...
A lot of actors and a lot of special effects.
A lot of special effects, yeah. But was there magic? They didn't have to pay magic consultants, I heard.
No.
Yes.
No magic.
So they saved, like $350 right, right there. Yeah. So, I mean, the budget's got to be way smaller now.
They had to pay for that card. That's what it was. That was the big magic, quote unquote, magic scene.
A deck of playing cards?
No, just a card. A single card.
It was made out of gold, though. Yeah. That was the trick. Number 8, X-Men Apocalypse still sticking around in the top 10. 2.6 million, a 51% drop, and that one is in week 6. So that has made $151 million domestic, which is a far cry from what you'd expect after the last two X-Men movies. It has made about $375 million overseas, so that definitely saved it. It's at around $515, $520 million worldwide, according to estimates, but you know, the other two were getting closer to a billion.
Yep.
So this is a huge drop off. And what, they've got one more before they come to present day, like the '90s one.
I mean, I don't know what they're going to do.
Cause
like,
2000 was the first.
Yeah.
So, and they've done one every decade. So the '90s one will then bring us to,
yeah, but like that 2000 one is gone.
Right. But I mean, if they're going to stick with the decades thing, like they'll be caught up after the next one.
Yeah.
So they could, the next one may very well be the last one if it's going to keep dipping at the box office.
They announced that the villain in the next one will be acid wash jeans.
Yeah.
That sounds about
right. They will defeat it with crystal.
Junkos.
With crystal Pepsi. With crystal
Junkos. Did you hear they brought those back a couple of years ago?
I saw a kid wearing them like 3 days ago.
No. Yes. 3 days
and
ago?
And I was like, you know, I don't mind. Like, my jeans, I usually walk on the back of them. I do that all the time. In the, like, I don't know how you,
five times wider.
Like, I don't know how you even walk in those things.
I remember in high school or middle school when those were really popular, they would be so long and the bottom so big that their shoes would almost be completely covered and they'd be walking on full jean and you wouldn't see their shoes.
No, no, it didn't make, they were drinking fun, whatever that,
Squirt?
No, not Squirt. The ICP.
Now you're thinking of the Ghostbusters.
Yeah, right. The ICP root beer.
Yeah. Oh, Faygo root beer.
Faygo root beer, Junko jeans, and, you know.
Yeah.
So, quote unquote vintage t-shirts.
Yeah. So anyway, X-Men, just, you know, making its budget back fine, but not doing what they expected. So we'll have to see where the next one goes.
I like it. I liked Independence Day more than that one.
Yeah. Number 9, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows, still hanging on with 2.4 million. That one is a 54% drop in week 4. It's only at $77 million though domestically.
Good.
And only another 75-ish foreign. So 150 on a $135 million budget. That's a huge failure.
Serves it right. Yeah.
Yeah, you know? It's a huge steaming piece of trash. And, you know, I know that I was getting some crap, not that much, but some crap for, like, being hard on it during the review that we did.
Yeah.
But it was just terrible, offensively terrible. Yeah. Like, I could not help but to pick it apart because it was irritating me so much.
I'm glad I was on vacation for
that.
Like,
it
I did
is
not want
so,
to see that.
So bad. And that first one was bad, but this was
the first one. I think the first one, it was bad, but at least they were having a good time with it.
Yeah, like, it was bad, but
fun,
like,
with it, bro.
Yeah, just chill out, bro.
I get what you mean. Fun. I mean, it was not good, but then again, like, there were some entertaining aspects, I guess, that you could hold on to. It was bad still, but this
Johnny
one,
Knoxville is Leo. What do you want?
This one, just no.
That was the problem.
Yeah.
They couldn't get Knoxville back.
Yeah, that's he's the golden child. And rounding out, oh, let's see here. Let me.
No, you got to go to the
I know,
limited.
That's limited now?
Yeah.
And, well, we'll give you a bonus 11 because this is kind of funny, but rounding out the top 10, a limited release indie movie, Alice Through the Looking Glass by Walt Disney Studios. Oh my God. Alice Through the Looking Glass in 5 weeks is now in only under 500 theaters.
Good.
That's crazy.
You know?
Crazy. 2.3 million, a 46% drop at $74 million domestic, 167-ish world overseas. So not even a quarter of $1 billion on a $170 million budget.
There's Kevin Smith tells a really funny story about how he wanted Bruce Willis to be in Jersey Girl.
Yeah.
So the scene where Affleck goes and he sits down and Affleck makes a big deal about, they're like, you know, it's this new guy and he's Bruno and he's this thing. And Affleck's like, it's Bruce Willis. And that's what cost him his career. So, but Willis wouldn't do it. So they got Will Smith to do it. So the whole scene is like, you know, they're like, this guy.
He was going
to
play Bruno?
He was. No, Bruce Willis was going to
be.
But like the thing that cost Ben Affleck his career is like he calls out these execs who are like, you know, you got to pump this guy and he's going to be so big and that nobody knows who he is. And Affleck's like, what are you? It's Bruce Willis. Like, because there was a point where Bruce Willis was Bruno.
Yeah.
Like, doing, like, a jazz.
No, it was like a blues.
Like a he blues
thing.
He played
at Pops, right?
Yeah, he did, actually. Yeah. I have a picture of myself in Bruce Willis.
That's right. Awesome. With hair? Or without hair?
Which one of us?
Bruce Willis.
Yeah. Trick question. Both without hair.
He had no hair.
Okay. But, yeah, so, like, that was the catalyst to, like, Ben Affleck getting
really?
Fired. Yeah. That was in the original script.
Yeah.
Bruce Willis wouldn't do it, so they get Will Smith to do it, and they change it to where it's, like, you know, this guy will never be anything and he's going to be nothing. So Kevin Smith is like, I always feel like when Will Smith looks at his track record and he was like, $100 million, $100 million, $100 million. What the hell is that? Oh, it's that stupid Kevin Smith movie. But then like, I feel like Disney's going to do that with this, where it's like Avengers and Captain America and Star Wars and what the, Allison through the Looking Glass.
It's just weird. I cannot believe in 5 weeks a Disney movie based on a like $1.1 billion grossing, huge, well-known property is doing
you
that
make
bad.
A piece of shit. That's what you get.
I know. It didn't look
Nobody
good.
Nobody bats a thousand.
I know it was boring. Yeah, I know. But you wouldn't think they would you know, strike out with an Alice in Wonderland movie.
Yeah, you would think that that's a fairly safe bet that you're gonna...
If
that's
you make what, Mars if you, Needs Moms, fine, but
even
like...
Even if you make half of what the first one
well,
made.
Well, it's funny because it's like the whole logic is, well, we make so many sequels and reboots and because they're safe bets, and it's like, well,
sometimes
maybe not.
They're not.
You know what? I'm telling you, if you look at the box office and you're gonna start, I think, seeing a change because sequels have been everything for a while because I said, oh, original properties don't make money. People are getting sick of it, and I just talked about this the other day with someone. I think it was before I saw a movie this week.
You mean Independence Day?
No, I saw two movies this week.
Oh, all right.
I saw The Neon Demon.
Oh, yeah, that's
Nicholas
right.
Winding Refn's new movie, his latest movie after Only God Forgives, and he was, of course, the director of
Drive.
The Brilliant Drive in 2011, which got robbed of the Oscar. But, you know, and I'll just put it this way. It's better than Only God Forgives. But if you know Nicholas Winding Refn's movies,
he loves neon lights.
Well, they start off, and they're beautiful movies. It's a piece of art. They all look incredible. But it starts off as a normal movie, and this one has a coherent plot, which Only God Forgives did not.
Nope.
So they actually gave this one a plot and motivations that make sense and a story. But like all his other movies, including Drive, they go to crazy town. It goes off. You're just waiting because they're like, okay, every one of his movies goes in bonkers after, you know, whatever.
Yep.
And once it does, it goes to like whatever is right to stop past crazy town.
I'll never forget that scene in Drive where they're in the hotel and all of a sudden, is it Christina Hendricks gets her face blown off with a machine? No, with
the shotgun.
And
that's
I was like,
Oscar Isaac's. Remember Oscar Isaac
is
robbing the bank, and then
but
she
they're
gets
in the hotel
shot.
Room. They're in the hotel room, and like guys are like coming in from both sides, and all of a sudden, like her face just explodes.
Yeah. And he grabs the shotgun
and
starts
like,
blowing them away. Yeah,
what are we watching?
Right?
What is happening?
Yeah, in the elevator scene. His movies always take that turn. This one does, but it is better. So if you like his stuff, it's a beautiful looking movie.
Oh, the elevator where he stomps the guy's face and literally a hole into a
he
guy's
does.
Face.
That's his type of movie. This one gets crazier.
Yeah.
But anyway, I was just talking to someone, and I think you're going to start seeing a huge change because here's the deal. So if there's not something that sparks your interest, like an original property like Swiss Army Man is the one that's coming out next week with Paul Dano and Daniel Radcliffe. Looks amazing.
Okay.
So that piques my interest, and I would pay to go see that in the theater, right? But like nowadays, if someone doesn't see something original that grabs their attention, they go, oh, I'll just wait. I've got Netflix, I've got Hulu, I've got Vudu, I've got Plex, I can stream stuff online. Like, they're not going to the theater to see every movie, so they're being more selective.
And
original ones especially. So I think we're going to see a huge turn with these sequels not being all, you know.
Given what happened this week, you may not be wrong.
Yeah, so Alice in Wonderland is gone, basically. And then a bonus number 11. After only, am I reading this right, 3 weeks, number 11, Warcraft.
Yeah.
With a 71% drop in week three.
We call that Borgcraft.
That's after another 70% drop, and then an abysmal opening weekend, $2.1 million. It has made $43 million domestic.
Yeah, but thank God for China.
Yeah.
It's right.
Making,
but,
it's, yeah.
But still, though, I mean...
This might be the lowest grossing movie in America to ever
get a sequel.
Yeah. I mean, geez, that had a $160 million budget. It looked bad, but I didn't think $40 million before it leaves theaters bad.
Did you saw it, and you said it was awful.
Warcraft.
Yeah.
It was
and, but the foreign gross is up to... $350 million. So it's over doubled his budget in three
of
weeks
course.
Before leaving the U.S. box office, basically. So
yeah,
That's the box office.
Well, thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome.
So I guess that's it for this episode. We'll go around the table. Everybody can say where to find him.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, B-U-T-T-S-21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett or email me at Kevin@RealSpoilers.com.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/RealSpoilers. I guess you could email me at Tom@RealSpoilers.com if we're doing that.
Well, then you can email
no,
me.
No, you cannot
email Joe at Joe@RealSpoilers.com. You are forbidden. He missed his window. You have to wait at least a week to do it.
I'll do it on the next episode.
Nope. Not allowing it.
You better police that next episode.
I will.
Right?
I'll
remember that.
Just edit it out. Yeah. When he goes to do it, just put a big, like,
wait a minute.
What's one long chicken noise?
I can remove Joe from every episode.
Hey.
Too late.
Especially now that we have multi-track recording.
I was like, I've done 195.
I can still remove him from every episode. Don't tempt me.
You're like the George Lucas of Real Spoilers.
We're going to do the special editions. Here's Real Spoilers 196A remastered in HD.
You'll be replaced with Jar Jar Binks.
Misa think that movie was awful.
So also don't forget that if you would like to continue the conversation online, we'll be waiting for you with open arms at Facebook.com/RealSpoilers or on Twitter at Real Spoilers, or you can email the show directly at realspoilers@reviewstl.com. So don't forget, iTunes, go there, rate, review, subscribe. It helps us tremendously, and we greatly appreciate it. So coming up on the next episode, we will tackle Independence Day Resurgence. Until then, you've been warned.
We're three caballeros, three gay caballeros. They say we are birds of a feather. We're happy amigos, no matter where he goes. The one, two, and three goes, we're always together.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
We're three happy chappies with snappy serappies. You'll find us beneath our sombreros.